She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree, who copes with life by smoking too much weed, dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Marihuanera.
Marihuaneras, they said that there were no more of these in existence on planet Earth, but I found the last living Mario. He does exist. Mario Rodriguez.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Comic, podcaster, Idiots United, Pocket Change Pod.
Fuck yeah.
All over town, surfing.
Surf, yes. Surf, Mala Munoz fan number probably like a million. I'm working my way up the leaderboard.
There is a long line. It's a long line.
Yeah. It's like a. It's like the new iPhone is going to get released.
It's an exciting drop. Not every week. I don't put out episodes every week. It's too much for me.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. People don't deserve that much. You
know, it's true. For free.
For free. Come on.
For free.
Come on. Yeah.
So Mario,
you now, dude. Let's go, bang.
Say it again. Oh yeah. Oh, I'm banging all over town.
Yeah, fucking shy. That's just sick. You look very 70s.
Farrah Fawcett. Thank you.
Farrah Fawcett.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the exact question I want people to ask themselves when they see me. When I walk in the room, did she die?
Whoa. Oh my God. I know. How could you be Selena and every like actress from 1972? You know?
At the exact same time.
Yeah.
It's the big face. I think the most famous actresses have had big faces.
Really?
Yeah. It shows up on screen. A huge face.
Right. The camera adds 10 more faces.
10 more faces. Yeah.
Like at least. You know what I mean? Just faces popping up. That makes sense now. I get it.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm new to the acting game. So, I don't know.
Are you acting?
Fuck no. Oh, can I cuss?
Yes. Oh, please oh,
yeah.
Cuss.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. I'm terrified of acting. Terrified.
I think you'd be great.
I just like, I did a Molly McLean show in like, it's like a theater stand-up show. And I had to act in a scene. And I was like laughing the whole time. It was fun, but you know, it was just like so out of my comfort zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Scripts are hard.
Yeah.
You know, so but do you act? Are you an actress?
Oh, I am an actress. I love to act.
No
but
way.
I feel like you are very like spontaneous, off the cuff, off the top, right? Like when you do your stand-up, are you like writing a lot and memorizing things?
Not so much anymore. I used to write like a bunch, and then that would give me like the ability to like riff without being afraid, because I can always go back to a joke I used to write. But like recently it's been really just kind of going up there and kind of just, I don't want to say winging it, but like having fun, you know what I mean? Having a little fun. Cause I do write like little tidbits every once in a while, but nothing like written. I did the roast battle. That was like the first time I wrote in like fucking 6 months, you know, so bad.
Is there a science to roasting? Do you like look up your opponent and look up facts and look up things and then you like formulate and then you go up, or like what is the process, what is your artistic process to roasting,
to roast battling? Well, I always like roasting people I know. I don't think it's like a good idea to roast like random strangers, you know what I mean? Because
okay, yeah.
So like I roasted AJ last time at the improv on last Monday, and we know each other, like I sleep at his house, you know what I mean? We know each other. Yeah. Well, you know, so like the trick is to like how creative could you make the joke? So like wordplay, see if you come at a cool angle, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I don't really like, I'll stick with like appearances. I will never, like, I couldn't do, like, my homie, like, his dad passed away. And, like, you know what I mean? I was not going to write a joke about his dead dad, dude. I was, like, and I was trying, too, dude. I was like, God, this is you know what I mean? And I'm like, dude, this sucks. I'm not going to write about his dead
dad. Like, actively trying to write a joke about his dead dad. Yeah, exactly. And your conscience wouldn't let you.
Yeah, I was like, what am I doing here, dude? Like, why am I doing this to my, one of my best friends? You know what I mean? Like,
this is not nice.
No, it's not nice. So I just called them short a bunch. You know what I mean? I was like,
yeah, that's easy. That's better.
Dad, oh my God.
Oh man, you're a good person, Mario.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I think, thank you so much.
Oh my God. Thank you.
You like to smoke weed.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You like to smoke weed. Do you smoke weed before you go up, after you go up, or only after? What is your artistic process with smoking weed?
Oh, man. God, I smoke, like, I smoke all day.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't, like, I don't know if it's good or bad or whatever. I'm not here to judge my own actions, you know what I mean? Who's
right.
going to do that? You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. This is a safe space to be yeah. a 24/7 pothead. Like.
Right. Because yeah. like I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go smoke a bowl, then go get coffee. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And after I drink my coffee, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to smoke a bowl, then go read or something, go watch, you know, videos. As far as like stand up, like, yeah, I love smoking before I go up. It keeps me silly, keeps me fun. And like for me personally, I'm at my best when I'm having fun and being like super goofy and silly. So sometimes if I'm like too sober, and I used to drink a bunch too, so like sometimes. Like drinking before sets would be like super terrible, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, devolve into me just like, you know, being hammered up there, which would still be funny, but yeah. it would like you know, like professional, you know, I want
right
be, you know, I want to be sharp, you know what I mean? I want to be
totally.
So weed doesn't like affect that for me. It keeps me like a little bit loose and a little bit playful and like really fun, you know. So but yeah, before, after, during, if I could take a joint up there, dude,
hell
so,
yeah.
You know, like a 20-minute set, why not, you know?
Exactly. Hey. Get real comfy. I would love to be able to smoke while doing stand-up, but I'm just a cougher. I have baby lungs still, and I would feel humiliated.
That's good, though. That's good. I'm a huge cougher. Again, asthma.
The inhaler.
So I'm like, I've always been a cougher, and all my friends are like, oh, you baby lung, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, dude, sorry, I'm getting higher than you, dude. You know what I mean? Oh, you're mad at me because I'm so stoned right now? Oh, my bad, dude. Yeah.
Sorry, my blood vessels are taking in tons and tons of oxygen and shit and helping me process this THC.
Exactly. Like, if you're smoking weed and then you're not coughing, like, why are you even smoking? Like, you know what I mean?
That's a good perspective on it.
You know?
I like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Cough it up, dude. Cough it up. Again,
thank you.
My heads, dude. We got you, dude.
Idiots United, your show.
Idiots United.
Buster I Brown. Love your show. Yeah. Yeah. Buster Brown. Say everyone's names again.
Buster Brown, lead guitarist. Eric Cerrone, drummer. And then we added McKenna Gerald, a hilarious stand up comic, keyboard. Yeah, we started, that is so old. That started in like 2019. I guess nice. That's not that old.
It feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, me and Buster started doing stand-up at like Silver Lake Lounge in Silver Lake.
Cool.
So we did that mic for like 2 years, and then the dudes, like, it was owned by this gay Mexican dude, and he loved us, dude. Yeah. You know, all these dudes come in, and they were like, you know, we would hang out there all day, get drunk, then we go free tecate and shit, you know? And like, we went there for like 2 years, and then eventually they're like, yeah, we'll give you a show, you know, let's like have a show. So we had our first Idiots United show, like late 2019. And then pandemic hit early 2020, you know? And then we moved to the park, you know, we did the show out of the park, and we had like, we would have people walking up to us. There's a guy like with the machete one time walking.
What?
Yeah, he gave us $1, dude. The dude, he had no shirt on at Echo Park Lake, walking around just with the machete, dude. It was like vibing to us, you know? And I was like, I don't play an instrument, so I'm just on mic and I'm just like riffing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, kind of making fun of everyone that walks by, and then I see him with the machete, and I'm like, I don't make fun of him at all. You know, like, oh, yeah. And then like 2 hours later, dude, no lie, like we check Citizens app, and there's like on the Citizens app in Echo Park, there's like guy with machete chasing people around. That's our homie.
That's our homie. But not you guys. He liked you guys.
Gave us a dollar, you know.
He gave you a tip.
He gave us a tip, dude, before he went on his rampage. What a nice
what a nice guy.
He's a philanthropist. You know what I mean?
He's a
philanthropist.
He's a supporter of live comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
A patron of the arts and public parks.
Dude, that was like a lot of our demographic. Like it was like in between homeless people, mentally ill people. Dude, for like a year they would come to all our shows.
And hell yeah.
They're like, because what we would do at the end of our shows in the park, we would like make beans and rice and like pass them out to the home. Because there was like
what?
Yeah. That's what Idiot started as. Kind of like a, we would like in the summer take waters and like to like people that on the street, living on the street and shit. So like that was kind of the goal.
Yeah.
Because we were really, you know, it's like 2020. So everyone's kind of getting into like social activism. We wanted figure out what we can do. I was reading a bunch of anarchist literature and shit and direct action and not really worrying about like, you know, organizing your own friends instead of like waiting on like big organizations. So like we kind of took that and like, you know, we were just literally in my truck, I have like this grill and we're to like make beans and rice and like pass it out.
Oh dang.
Yeah. So like all those foods, like one of the ladies that lived in like a, well, it was unhoused, like a tent, she like after, it's not because of us, but like she was hanging out with us more, and then she got off, she got on medication, she moved back into her parents' house, she got like custody of her kid back, you know what
oh
I mean?
Good.
Yeah, so it was like cool to see like some of the, because a lot of unhoused people are just like foods that like just bad luck, you know what I mean?
It doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much. It really doesn't, especially if you have like some sort of mental illness, you know what I mean? Like if you get cut off from your insurance, you know, shout out inhalers.
Right.
Cut off from your insurance, you're fucked. You know what I mean? You know, you
totally.
Because there's a story I remember. This guy was like, he was unhoused, and he was like, they're like, why don't you get a job? And he was like, oh, like the worms won't leave me alone. And he would like see worms on his hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, very easily treated if you get the right medication. You know what I mean? Like, how many people are like that? You know. So
yeah.
We had a lot of those people at Idiots United, and they're sick, you know what I mean? And and then even like now we're doing more like, we did Bourbon Room, which is like super classy. So
yeah, fun show.
Yeah, fun. You killed.
Very fun show.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, Mario's had me on 2 of their Idiots United shows, and they're both super fun. Like I love doing your shows, like because all the reasons you kind of just described, all the things you just described, and like the audience and the demographic, and then like you guys and like the whole energy and the whole vibe is just like superb. It's just perfect and very fun. And I love how musical your show is. Like I love the mixing of like comedy and music and making it like a variety show almost. Like it's sick. It's so fun.
Yeah, that's the goal, is to make it like a whole experience. You know what I mean? Make it like a whole thing. And especially like Buster is a fucking like he's the best musician I've ever met in my whole life. Like we met when we were in high school. And like he was already like a fucking prodigy guitar player in high school, you know what I mean? And then he went to Barbara, and we still hung out, and he was like making his own like record in his like this little shack in Santa Barbara. He has like a Sad Virtuoso, it was like a great album that he made.
So ooh, that's a cool title.
Yeah, that's like his whole vibe is Sad Virtuoso.
He reminds me of Jack Black when he's on performing.
Whoa. Yeah,
with his guitar and dancing around and stuff.
What's that? God, what's his group? The whatever. But yeah, so he's
Tenacious
like,
D.
Tenacious D. Fuck yeah. Yeah, Tenacious B. Tenacious Buster.
There you go. Tenacious B.
Yeah. He's sick. Yeah. So like he's like he could play any song you want. Like if you tell him like play this, he can listen to it, fucking figure it out. You know what I mean? He's
a
awesome.
Savant,
you know. Eric's a great drum player. He didn't play anything. He was just our homie. And then one of our Silver Lake Lounge shows, our drummer didn't show up. No one played drums. So he just like ran up there and played drums.
Oh, hell like, yeah.
Barely knew how to play, but now he's like a solid ass drummer, you know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then McKenna's fucking sick. I love McKenna closing out our show.
Yeah.
The way she does like the improv piano song is
very so cool.
she's like such a great stand-up too. Like she doesn't even need to use the piano. She's like a solid stand-up too. So
yeah,
it's just coming together, you know, slowly. Hopefully we can start doing shows like, you know, other cities in LA and like on the road and, you know,
a tour
or a little tour. Yeah.
What? Invite me. Not to be like, invite me on tour on air on my podcast while I'm recording you.
right. No, of course. That's the goal, is to take like, is to like make what we do here, like, and just fucking do it everywhere. You know what I mean?
Love it.
Yeah. Cause like, I'm a bar guy, you know, I love performing in bars. I love performing in like clubs are chill and they're cool and we'll be there one day. You know what I mean? But like, right now we can really hone and have a lot of fun in this bar scene, mm-hmm. and like do good comedy, you know what I mean? Like do comedy that I think people want to see, not so much like, you know, yeah. we're gonna get 2-drink minimum and sit down here and, you know, yeah. all that good stuff, which is cool too. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I have very limited experience in the comedy clubs. Like I've gone to a few shows. I've like recently Caitlin Jeffers got up at Potluck at the Comedy Store, so yeah. I like went to go see her. Caitlin and Jeffers. I've like yeah Caitlin Jeffers has also done Idiots United. Very funny. And so yeah, she did Potluck at the Comedy Store, so I went to go see her and she did great. And I've seen like Joel Jimenez do their like, they have like a door guys showcase.
Yeah.
And so like I went, and so I've only gone a couple times, but the vibe is very different versus like, okay, like the Chatterbox.
Right.
Bar.
Right. Yeah. That Chatterbox is like a unique, very unique. Chatterbox reminds me of like, if you go to like Portland or if you go to like other like smaller market cities, the stand-up scene that pops up there really like mimics what Chatterbox does. Cause Chatterbox feels low key, like, and like tight, but it's really, you know, it's just a, you know, it's just a bar, but it doesn't feel, it presents as a club, you know, you don't see Chatterbox as a bar show, you know?
Yeah. They really, transform the space with the little stage and the little spotlight.
That orange popping out of the wall, you know?
The orange is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chatterbox is cool.
Shit. Yeah, Comedy Store is sick too. Like, if I would do, I would like, that's my goal, is to be past the store. I would love to be past the store.
Have you performed there?
No, never.
Okay, never. So that's a goal.
Yeah, but like I never wanted to do like Kill Tony or like Potluck or like, I don't know. I am like very stubborn, obviously, in my own head. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, if I'm gonna do a show there, I want to be booked there. You know what I mean? I want to.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, because I used to go there like every night to watch Don Barris. He's like the OG, close out the OR every night. So I would literally just go there to see him. And he'd do a set for like sometimes like 2 hours to like 3
a.m. Oh, shit.
Out there. And there was a part where he would do like a human pyramid on stage just to kill time or whatever. So he'd bring people on stage to do a human pyramid.
Oh, and literally a pyramid.
Yeah. Like he had people. Yeah, dude. It was fucking awesome. He had a girl like spit in his mouth once. Crazy. It's a crazy fucking scene. So yeah, so like even then, like he was like calling people on stage for the pyramid, and I wouldn't go because I'm like, if I'm going on stage at the store, I'm performing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean? You're
gonna have a debut.
Yeah, I, you know, in my mind I'm like, you know, I would like to see my name on the lineup and be like, fuck yeah, that's, you know.
Yeah, I see that for sure.
You know,
I see that for you. Mario's very funny, guys. You guys got to go see Mario. When is your next Idiots United show?
Our next Idiots United show is December 23rd at the tattoo shop at My Story Tattoo. We're going to have a toy drive, food, weed vendor, you know, maybe see Mala Munoz there. We'll see.
Is that? Yeah. Oh, my God. I need to come. I want to now. Okay. Okay. I'm going to do a quick segue, but then we're going to come back.
Yeah,
so I, at Chatterbox on last Thursday, I like hosted with Stevana, and I was scatting a little bit because I've been scatting, and like, I want to scat with your band.
Oh, dude. They love that for sure.
We're actually going to scat later. We're going to do like a little pothead jam sesh later. Keep listening at the end of the episode. But
scatted earlier in the I said I scatted earlier in the bathroom, but
you were scatting in the bathroom.
OG scat. You know what I mean? The back of the day. I'm like an owl, that kind of scat. You know?
Hell yeah. Dang, now I forgot what I was. What were we talking about?
We're talking about the
Idiots United back at my story.
Toy drive. All
there's going to be a toy drive. Oh, and you and I are actually performing on a show December 14th. Talk about it. Tell them, Mario. Tell them all about it because it's kind of exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's at the Dave and Buster's in Arcadia. You know?
Hell yeah.
Which is so funny because I did that show last month with Steven Moreno. Steven Moreno's booking it. Fucking hilarious comic.
Hilarious.
So nice, too. Like the nicest dude.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that Dave and Buster's. So I used to work in a warehouse like for like 10 years, and we would ship all Dave and Buster's like prizes and stuff. yeah. So all like the mugs, all the glasses, all the toys, all the stuffed animals, we'd ship it to everybody, and then we'd have a Christmas party at the Arcadia location.
Hell yeah!
I used to go there all the time as like a, you know, as a worker. So yeah, it was crazy going there and performing and like, you know, like,
yeah,
in a totally different mind frame. You know what I mean? It was so rewarding, very full circle for me.
Very full circle. That's why I'm excited to perform there next week, because as a kid, I used to shoplift from that mall all the time.
Go.
That was my favorite mall to steal from. The Nordstrom's was the best shoplifting.
Dude, I used to love taking stuff, dude. I was a West Covina Mall guy, but okay. Yeah.
Because I grew up in like San Gabriel, like the city of San Gabriel, like San Gabriel, Pasadena. So that was my mall, the Santa Anita Mall. I was a mall rat. I was always there.
Yeah, that's sick. Yeah, the mall used to be a spot, dude. The mall used to be where you used to go kick it with your friends. You didn't even have to buy anything. You just go hang out there.
Just wander.
Just
the old watering hole.
Yeah, dude, I love them all. There's so much bad stuff that happens there. I think the first time I like smoked weed in like public was at the like the West Coast Mall or something. Like,
really?
Yeah. Because I was
inside,
in like the parking lot, in like the parking structure. Because you remember back in the day, like you could have just smoked anywhere. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
it was a thing.
Know, find a spot, you know what I mean, and go park with your friends and like hope no one pulls up on you, you know what I mean? You're all moving around.
It was a thing, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like we were in like the parking lot, like this back area, you know what I mean, and got so high, and we walked in. I remember going to like Macy's. I'm like, oh my, me and my mom come here, like this is
The Macy's.
Me and my mom would always walk in there. And I remember being like, because the bathroom was right here, and I can still see it to this day. Yeah.
Aw, that's a beautiful memory that you'll cherish forever.
Yeah. Well, dude, my relationship with weed has really shifted since when.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, you know, because I don't know how you were when you were young. Like when I was in like high school, I smoked weed for the first time in like eighth grade, and like just like a couple hits, nothing crazy. I don't even think I really got high. You know what I mean? And then like I was trying to play sports, so like I was like weed stupid, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I was an all American athlete.
Yeah, you know, I was like, oh no, it's gonna make me worse athlete, this and that, you know. And then like, and then my senior year came and sports ended, and I was like, oh, weed sick. We get so faded. And I would like play basketball games like high, like it was awesome. It was a good time, you know. And then like. And then I went to Kansas. I went to college in Kansas for like a year.
Uh-huh.
And that's like blew open all the drugs. You know what I mean? Like all the bad ones. You know what I mean? So
all of them.
It like just like fucking like it was like a rocket ship. It like burst out of there. You know what I mean? And ever since then, like weed has been like a big part of just like kind of my, I don't know, system of like being okay, you know what I mean? Because that's I think a lot of people are trying to figure out is like, what can I do to make me feel the most okay, you know?
It is medicinal at the end of the day, like, and it's at its core it's medicinal, you know.
Yeah, and it's like the smoke itself is like spiritual, you know what I mean? Like there's times in the morning when you like smoke in the morning, that early sun's coming up and it's like cutting through the smoke, like that's beautiful, like that's poetry, you know what I mean? You don't really get that. Like, that's why they even like smoking cigarettes, like that shit's cool, dude. You know what I mean?
It is.
If it didn't kill you, that'd be sick.
It is. Dare was always trying to, like, the Dare program was always trying to convince us that smoking wasn't cool. And that's how I knew they were full of shit. Cause I'm like, as a child, like, objectively, smoking is cool.
Smoking is cool. We all know that.
We all know. That's why it's in all the old timey movies, all the black and white movies. Like, smoking is just a constant visual. It's a prop. It's all the bad bitches are smoking. All the cool guys, the cool cats are smoking. Yeah, totally. The killers are smoking. The detectives are smoking. The heroes are smoking. Everyone is smoking.
Yeah. I seen a video of an old car from like the 60s, and it had like a cigarette dispenser, like where like right in the car. It was sick.
The little metal and you like pull it down and then you put it up and
yeah. See, like, I always wanted to, like, if I could ever invent anything, and I guess it's not inventing anything. If I could ever invent anything, it'd be like if I can make a cigarette that is like shake weed, you know what I mean? That didn't get you high. Sensation of smoking weed, like, yeah. Shake pretty much. Just to give you the sensation of smoking, because that's what I feel like a lot of stuff is, like, especially like me and like anxiety shit. Like, if I feel uncomfortable in a situation, I'm just gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna go smoke weed. You know what I mean? Like, that's you know what I mean? So if like,
yeah,
sometimes you don't always want to get super faded though, you know, you just want to get that kind of like, that, like, break from everyone, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's sick. That's so true. Like, people talk about how, like, for a lot of smokers, it's the ritual of smoking. It's the act of smoking, not so much what you're smoking. Have you done like, you know, some people infuse their pre-rolls and blunts and stuff with, like, I don't know, like lavender and mugwort and herbs of various kinds.
I don't know enough crystal people to do that.
Dude, I know so many crystal people and like Instagram brujas and
which I believe in, dude.
I just know a lot of them is what I'm saying.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I like that shit, dude. I'm pro magic, you know.
Oh yeah, magic is out there. Magic is real.
Magic is real as fuck, dude. So yeah, no, I never put no lavender in my weed. I put crack in my weed once. Is that a crystal? I don't know. That's
a fucking crystal. It's a rock.
Well, I guess I do know some of those.
You are one of those people.
Yeah. I do got rock. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you totally rock.
They're charging in the kitchen right now.
Have you ever?
Is that a thing?
Charging crystals in the sunlight. Have you ever charged water? Done a moon bath?
No.
You can leave water out on the night of a full moon, and the water like infuses the moon infuses the water with energy and stuff. I've done it before. It feels very mystical, and so then I'm like, okay, this is special water because it feels special because you did something kind of special with it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, totally. Well, have you seen the thing that's like if you talk to water nice and then you freeze it, and then if you talk to water mean and then you freeze it,
what?
Like the particles that freeze like have different kind of like patterns. So if like if you're nice to your water and you freeze it, they're like symmetrical patterns, and if you're mean to your water and you freeze it, they're all like jagged and sharp and like,
dang,
nothing symmetrical. So water is definitely like a you know, something that holds energy.
It absorbs clear. Yeah.
You can see that too, like surfing. Like, that's one of my favorite things about surfing is like when you're going down the line on like a wave, you're literally seeing the energy pass through the water and start to like bowl over. And that's like what you're aiming at. So like you'll see like literal, like, I don't even know what you would call it. It's some sort of energy that's being passed through water. You know what I mean? And the water is like reacting to that. Because if you think about water itself, like if I have a liquid and I don't move it, it stays there. So to move a fucking huge mass of water like the ocean, like there has to be so much energy in that water, like
right,
it's like, you know, magic again. You know what I mean? It's legit.
Yeah, magic. Yeah. And magic is like physics, but physics is magic, but magic is physics.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Just a bunch of science people try to figure out magic, and they're like,
physics. Yeah, it's physics.
I know a math problem for this.
Physics is magic for men, maybe.
Fuck yeah. Well, that's like most of like a lot of like modern medicine, modern science is like just man trying to like control what they don't understand. You know what
they
I mean?
Took which knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Or just like which knowledge or just there's something about the modern world that like we have to define everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, you can be uncertain. I can't be like, oh, I don't know what that energy in the water is. Someone's gonna be like, no, well, that is when the fucking swell comes from the northeast. You know what I mean? Like, I can't just be in awe of the world. You know, some dude has to come like, well, actually, that's how. You know what I mean? That's what modern medicine, modern science is like anti-beauty. You know what I mean? It's like anti, like, you know, another form of magic, anti-love. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like, oh, you don't feel this for someone. You're just having a biological reaction to this person.
Right. Really, like you don't love them. It's serotonin. It's chemicals.
It's your genes. You know what I mean? It's like, well, even if that's true, that's like such a terrible thing to tell a story of. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because we're people of stories. You know what I mean? Like, so like if you're telling people that nothing really matters, like you're just a machine that's like running on like this clock that was set before you, then it's like, well, fuck it. I don't have to aspire to do anything. I don't have to aspire to anything. My clock is already set, you know?
Truly. There's this thing about people being very against, like, there's this weird, what you're describing makes me think of this thing where it's like, people are like, well, are you surprised? Are you shocked? Why are you shocked? Like, people don't like to be in awe. Yes. Of something or in amazement by or wonder or like shocked. Like there's something about that. Like people want to be able to like know specifically and intimately and break it down and inside and out. And there's no like, ooh, the wonders of, you know, the mysteries of the universe, you know?
Absolutely. And you can even see that with like what we do, like with like stand up, like something would be funny and be like, someone would be like, oh, that, well, that's funny because he was being ironic with it. Right. Like, dude, just laugh and shut up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Isn't like not everything has to be a mathematic problem. You know what I mean? Not everything has to have this like solution at the end of the tunnel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like that cuts off a lot of like imagination. Like I forget who this was. I was like reading this guy and he talks about how a lot of invention and a lot of like corporate like energy is going into like stunting creativity and like stunting innovation. Because if the oil companies stunt electric power, they can keep their profits on oil. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you use that like scenario all over and say like, oh, the people that are in power don't want innovation. You can see that in every facet of our lives that like, oh, well, why don't we do this? This is different. And like, oh, that's not the way it is. You know what I mean? So like power has a big part of this in like quelling even like individual imagination, you know? And that's something that you can't really quantify. Like you can't quantify the opportunity cost of fucking unknown imagination. You know what I mean? Like you can never measure that. Mm-hmm. But you're continuously being stunted and like decreativized. That's not a word, but
yeah. And like for different reasons, like, oh, that's not going to sell. That's not going to be popular. That's not worth, there's no ROI. There's no return on the investment. Like there's all these reasons like not to do something.
Oh yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. And that's like that can go for anything too. You know, there's always like personally, you know what I mean? Like I'm a big guy like that too. Like I started surfing in May, in June.
Do you smoke when you surf? Do you smoke before, after, while, during?
I wish, dude. I remember a long time ago, I seen a dude like take a little plastic baggie out there and like, take a joint out of surfing. I thought that was so cool. I can try that. I smoke so much before. And I even take like a little microdose mushroom chocolate.
Okay.
And, for mushrooms and like microdosing mushrooms, like I get like very anxious and like I get like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that mushroom, like kind of like it's a de-anxiety, like for me, like it really calms me down, makes me like chill out, and like the water, that's like huge, you know what I mean? Because you don't want to like, the worst thing is to be like flapping around out there being all stressed out. Like you want to like work with the water, like flow with the ocean, you know what I mean?
Totally.
So like weed and like shrooms is like perfect for that stuff. You know what I mean? Like totally. But yeah, like when I started surfing, my biggest thing was like, oh man, like I think the water is just gonna be so cold. You know what I mean?
It is really. The Pacific Ocean is so cold.
Yeah, it's pretty cold.
It's cold.
But like you can say that, like, but that's what I mean. Like I could have said that, like that was just extreme for me. I'm not gonna do that because yeah. Like, oh, I don't want to wake up early. Like that's like such a, you know what I mean? Like these are excuses so that I can like validate my own laziness. You know what I mean?
Even though you want to do it, you make up reasons why you shouldn't, but you actually want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, does that ever happen to you where you're like,
yeah,
like where I'm like sometimes when I used to like write more, I used to like write short stories and stuff. Like if I knew I had like a good short story, it was so hard for me to start it because I knew how much work it was going to take. I knew that if I was going to start the story and I was going to do it right, like it was going to take all day, maybe 2 days. It was like, I would like dread it, you know what I mean? And like, that's kind of how I feel with a lot of stuff where I'm like, oh God, like I don't want to do it. Like, it, but I know I need to, I know I have to, and I know I want to, you know what I mean? But pushing yourself to fucking do the work is, you know, a constant battle. You know?
It is a constant battle. It's hard to be self-motivated. And so much of this is self-motivation. Oh. Nobody is going to force me to sit down and edit an episode or write something or go to a mic, or no one is like going to force me or check up on me. Like it's totally up to me. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm very similar. I'm very slow. Like for me, getting started on something is a torturous process because it's like idea, sitting on idea, maybe jots idea down, sits and thinks about acting on idea, does that for several days or weeks or months. You know what I mean?
Then
finally, when I like actually start to initiate like working on something, it's like, oh, well, that was painless. Why did I just torture myself mentally and emotionally for 6 months over this thing that I actually really like and actually want to do?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm doing it and it's totally chill and fun and I'm feeling great. But why did I put myself through mental anguish?
Right.
Before I could just get here.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like, I mean, we're kind of similar in the sense that like, we're kind of perfectionists too. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I'm like, if I'm doing something, that's just going to be sick. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I'm not someone
that's to
like,
be.
It has to be. Like, I'm not like, that's why like so much of my sets are like devolve into me just doing crowd work. Cause I'm like, dude, I'm not going to like every single time I do something, like it has to be super like personal to what I'm doing at that moment. You know what I mean? And that is daunting because you're like, you have such high standards for yourself, you know, you're like, fuck, like, you know, but then it happens and you're like, oh, that was sick.
You know, it's good. Yeah, I'm amazing. And all my ideas are great. And I should act on them. I should trust myself. I should do it.
Well, that's a big, like, trusting yourself is so hard.
Trusting yourself is a hard thing.
Because like, you know, you're taught so often to trust other people. You know what I mean? Like, when you think about trust, you never think about self-trust. You know what I mean? Like when the concept of trust comes up, it's always like, oh, do I trust my partner? Do I trust my parents? Do I trust my friends? You know, it's never like, do I trust myself to do what I know I should do? You know, and like, I've kind of been getting better, especially since I stopped drinking, like getting moving towards like being my own kind of fucking like cheerleader, if you know what I mean, like me, my own kind of like dude that's like, dude, like you're good, you're fine, like keep going, you know. Especially like you're saying, like stand up and podcasting, it's all you, you know, it's all you by yourself, especially with you know I at least have a podcast partner. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like, yeah. I can't imagine, but yeah, self-motivation, self-trust, like any sort of self-love is tough, man.
It's hard,
especially you know, maybe other people have it easier, but like, I don't know, like Latinos, like we are like so critical of ourselves. I feel
very self-deprecating sort of culture and deprecating of others.
Deprecating as fuck. Yeah,
yes,
yeah. Especially Mexicans too, you know. Mexicans, they're the meanest.
very rude people.
but it's like it gives us a power in a sense where we're like, if we can hone that energy without it being negative, it's powerful. You know what I mean? It's super powerful because, you know, that's what I feel like when I'm at my best. I'm like translating an energy of joy.
Oh, totally. You are a beacon of joy and light and happiness. I also think that's why I like the vibe of your shows, because I feel like I've gone to some shows where it's a little scary. Like, why am I scared right now? Right. You know,
this is a comedy show. Yeah, totally. Oh.
And it's like terrifying, the people, the plays, everything. Your show is very, it's fun and happy.
Yeah, which is good, because that's what I think of, like, is so cool about stand-up and like art in general, is that like if we look at the, like, if we truly see the world and like it's, we live in a fucking, we're like oppressed people. If you look at the world as like a kind of a mechanism of oppression, then like, if you find joy in that oppression, that's like, that's a miracle. You know what I mean? Like, that's rebellion. You know what I mean? That's what's so cool about comedy, is like, we're all coming here and we're all laughing in a world that's like literally decaying in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's beautiful. Like, that is like, that's inspirational. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's rebellion.
It's rebellion. And it goes back to, and it's so simple, right? It's like, it's the notion of laughing to keep from crying, right? Yeah,
exactly. And that, not even like in comedy shows, you're always smiling off stage. You know what I mean? Like, every time we hang out, we're always having fun. Like, that is rebellion. You know what I mean? Like, that is being like against the establishment that doesn't want joy. Doesn't, like we were saying earlier, doesn't want love, doesn't want creativity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so like, that's something that we can take on as comics, is, you know, the next generation of comics that aren't like, cancel culture suck. You know what I mean? Like, that's dying. That's gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Enough.
We're lovers now. You know what I mean? We're going to go have fun. You know, like, that's how it goes.
And I totally agree. Like, I am very exhausted by like a lot of like a discoursey type anything and everything. I'm just tired. I'm like, can we tell a couple little jokey jokes and just
be silly.
Can we be silly for a little bit?
Good Lord, if you say CNN, I'm gonna die. Like, oh God. Even in like regular conversation, as soon as someone even like starts to kind of complain sometimes, I'm just like, oh, I can't do this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, all right, I'll see you later. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So much energy. Because I already feel so fucking that. You know what I mean? We don't need to perpetuate that. You know what I mean? Because again,
And there's this assumption that like, if we're not constantly in that headspace, that we're not like doing anything about it or whatever. But it's like, that is what we're doing here, is like you're saying, this is the work because of all of these horrible things. Like, we know, you know, basically
that is why we are doing this. You know,
that's why we're here.
While we're here, because that we're trying to create something outside of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with just like, I don't know, like, the one thing I loved about stand-up so much, and like I find it in every kind of thing that I like, is that like, you find a community and then you're like, oh shit, like, I can belong to some, like, I have like a, like, I belong to a comedy family now. You know what I mean? Which, like, as a, you know, early 20s, I didn't really feel that in any sense. I was just, you know, drug addict, you know, going, you know, sleeping anywhere, you know what I mean? Like, there was no tie in community. And then once you find stand-up or whatever your niche is, you're like, oh, you know, life kind of makes sense now. And that kind of like gives you that power to walk through life happy. A lot of people don't find that, you know, a lot of people don't find that part of them. So it's like, very, life is very stressful, you know what I mean? Like, they feel unfulfilled.
Yeah, I agree. I've like, definitely, I've been talking to like my mom about this recently, because I've only been around doing like stand-up here and there for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years in soonish. But I'm still
such a great writer already.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I was like, dang, dude, like, you're writing out fucking, you're already fucking writing real structured jokes. Like, you're, I was just blacking out on stage. Like,
I do write as much as I can. And I like it. And it's also because I got really good advice from Steve Hernandez.
Comic.
And also Steve Ana Delgado. She was like, get a notebook and write. She's like, that's it, she's like, the white girls have it down to a science. they're writing, you know. Yeah. And then Steve will tell me like, okay, that little nugget, write it down.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Chatterbox is very they write jokes really well. Like everyone that comes out of Chatterbox, you know, they have great material. You know what I mean? Like everyone from like Ryan Reyes, Dom, you know, like
Julia, Ricky Macias.
Ricky, fucking Steven Randall, the king of the one-liner, dude.
Yeah. Oh.
You know,
I love Steven Moreno.
Come on, you know, I love that. Yeah, so like anyone that comes out of Chatterbox is such a great writer, and that was like my inspiration going there, because I felt like I had to like earn their respect, you know what I mean? Especially as like a kind of a drunk crowd work guy. I would like use Chatterbox as like my like, so the way I used to do it, I would like, Chatterbox was my one mic on the Thursday. So I would Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I would do all the other mics, and I would like be writing jokes, like different jokes, and whatever jokes killed the most, I tell that Thursday at Chatterbox.
There you go.
And then the next week, the whole new set. By the time I went to Chatterbox again, it has to be a whole new 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And I did that for a couple months, and then eventually, like, you know, you earn their respect because you're writing. They see that you're turning over material, you know. Yeah. It's not just, you know, you're going up there and be like, oh, you know, fucking, you look like you fuck. Which sometimes is what my sets are.
You love the word horny.
Oh, I love horny. Horny. Yeah, horny is a concept. You know what I mean? I love it, dude. Horny has a concept. This is an emoji. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. This is thinking, contemplating, theorizing. That's what this is. Theorizing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, horniness is a shit, but like not sexuality. That's what people get misconstrued with horniness. Horniness is desire. Anytime you want anything, that's horny. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like sexuality is such a little part of horniness. You know what I mean? Such a little part of desire. You know what I mean? When you're horny, you're like, you're being nice. You know what I mean? When you're horny, you're like aspiring to be more. When you show passion, you're horny. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be sexual. Just you're pumped. I like it. Like, let's go. You know,
you're excited.
You're excited. Exactly. You're passionate. You know?
Yeah. You're ready. Ready to go. Ready to do it.
Ready to go. So yeah, like I do say horny a lot, and then everyone's like, oh dude, horny. But I was like, no, you guys have the wrong idea of horny.
It's aspirational.
It's desire. You know, it's passion. Yearning, I used to say, it's yearning.
That's such a good word for that.
Yearning's like a beautiful, like,
that's an old timey word.
We don't have to get too into the yearning, but like, we might be one of the only animals that truly yearn. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm Siri. Oh, pleased to meet you.
Oh no.
Well, that was kind of scary.
I don't want to meet you, Siri. Okay. Sorry.
It's okay. No, I like the word yearning also because it's a very like old timey word. Yeah. And I'm very into like old timey words and shit recently. Like, okay, so like, you know, like I feel like there's all these words that we don't use anymore, but we could still use them. Like, there's a shoe repairman by my house. Wow. But why isn't it just called the cobbler?
Right.
That's the word for it, you know.
That used to be a whole profession. You know what I mean? Like, that used to be a whole thing. Yeah. And I think people like, when you say that, it reminds me of pie.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like shepherd's pies, quiches.
Dude, okay. What's quiche?
Okay. Quiche is like, it is a type of pie because a pie it has a crust.
Okay.
And quiche can have a crust. And it's basically like a baked egg pie with like, you could put veggies in it, cheeses. You kind of whip it up, you kind of put it in the oven, it bakes. It's sort of like, have you had like the bacon and Gruyere egg bites at Starbucks?
No, but that sounds awesome.
It's like a little egg. It's an egg bite. And the reason it's an egg bite and not a quiche is because those don't have a crust. But quiches, they're like little baked egg bites, but they're in a crust, so it's a quiche.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I dated a white woman once and she would make quiche all the time. And I didn't have the heart to ask her what it was. I would just eat it. She's like, oh, I made quiche. I'm like, oh, sick. I don't even know what that is. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go.
Well, I'm glad you felt safe enough here to ask.
Yeah, finally. Yeah, I made it out of that impression. I was once chained, but now I'm free, dude.
Oh my God. There's this thing where it's like, you know, people are like, sometimes people have the ick for weird things, right? Yeah. And like in dating, it's like, oh, like, I don't like dating guys who have kids, or I won't date a guy who smokes, or I won't date a guy who's been in prison. But some people have a thing about dating guys who have dated white girls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. I totally. Right? Like,
it's like you dated a white girl.
You're dating. It's like the Scarlet Letter. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you walk around with a W on your shirt.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, dude, it was like, I don't know why white men are very attracted to me.
You know, I believe I can see it. I can believe it because you're silly and goofy and like kind of cerebral.
Yeah. And I'm like a safe brown guy. That's what I feel. I feel offended by it. Honestly, they should. I hate that. Like, I used to like have short hair, like really short hair. Uh-huh. And like, I used to look like a cholo dude. You know what I mean? And yeah. People were afraid of me. And that was cool. And then now no one cares about me. Like walking right by me. They're like talking to me. I'm like, oh, dude, I miss being scary. Kinda.
You're just very, what would the word be? You're just very like genial.
Genial. Whoa.
Let's look that one up. Is that the word I want to use to describe you? I'm literally going to tell you right now because I think it's a good word.
Genial is a sick word. I can name my kid Genial. Genial.
Oh, yeah. Genial. Adjective. Friendly and cheerful. Pleasantly mild and warm. Marked by genius.
Whoa.
Literally you, dude. Sick. Am I good with words or what?
Old timey words, you're killing right now. Genius.
You're genial.
Dude, I'm really gonna name my kid that now. Thank you. Fuck yeah.
Genius. Yeah, you're welcome. It's like Eugene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Genio. Hey, Genio. I can yell that out. You know what I mean? Like, for sure. Genio.
Exactly, 100%. Wait, I had an idea before, but then I forgot to bring it up, but then I remember now. Okay, but going back to the idea of things being like repackaged and repurposed, like for men, right? Yeah. I feel like stand-up is like theater for men. It's stand-up. But I'm like, it's like, oh, nice stage and spotlight, nice comedic monologue, like nice comedic soliloquy up there, bro. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is not theater, it's stand-up, you know what I mean? But that's how I feel about it sometimes.
Oh, totally. There is definitely like I used to do a bit about like stand-ups don't do improv, we riff, you know what I mean?
Right.
So even in that sense, we're like, oh, fuck improv, you know what I mean? Like and it is very masculine. Like, we did a show, I won't say any names, but like I went to a show and the headliner requested a female host. And then the people that were running the show, they're like, oh, we don't know any female comics. And it's like,
what?
What?
In Los Angeles?
I can't say where, but it was like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's nuts.
It was nuts. It was nuts. And it was like, I don't know. It felt even like they didn't even like, it didn't even click to them how nuts it was. You know what I mean? Like, they were so in their own little world that they're like, oh yeah, of course we don't know any female comics. You know what I mean? It's such a,
what's that?
Yeah, what is that?
What is, what do you mean?
You mean the waitresses? Yeah. Yeah. That's what they, like when we first started Idiots, like we were always like, cause all of our, like we have so many, when you do mics, you meet all the comics and they're like half of them are women sometimes. You know what I mean? Like
we are half of the population.
Half the population. Probably like a third of comics though, you know?
Yeah.
So like, but like when we book shows, like we'll always book even, like we'll always like, you know, there's always going to be even amount of, you know, male and female, you know what I mean? They're equal, mm-hmm. like they're equal amount of like non-binary people on there because like it's weird to go to a stand-up show and everyone has the same perspective. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? When you go mm-hmm. up there, it's like everyone's telling the same joke in a different way. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So it's like weird to not have like, you know, gay people up there, you know yeah. what I mean? Like disabled people up there, you know what I mean? Yeah. People with different backgrounds, like non-English speakers, you know what I mean? Like, especially if it's comedy, like people are going to laugh, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's yeah. like, No, it's not anything crazy, but it's all, you know, gatekeeping and like typical masculine shit, you know.
Yeah. It's also so odd because like that behavior of like only booking men, right? Like it's like they're trying to give themselves an advantage, but they end up shooting themselves in the foot because, like you're saying, then the lineup ends up, the risk of the lineup being very similar and the jokes being kind of repeated, or at least the themes and topics being repeated, is much higher if you have like all the same type of stand-up. So like you set yourself up for that. And I've noticed kind of this because I've been getting booked on like a lot of different shows, like little ones here and there, where I'm the only woman on the lineup. And so I end up standing out and my material stands out just because I'm the only one. Yeah. So I don't know if they're like, it's like, okay, if you're just throwing a woman a bone, but then the rest of the people on the lineup are men, it's like, I'm like, okay, I can work with this. Actually, these odds are good for me. You know what I mean? Like for me. Right. Because then I end up hearing like, oh my God, I'm so glad that they had a woman on the lineup. Like you really, you know, because I end up standing out just by nature of the way that the show was produced and the lineup was made. So it works for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's just something I've noticed.
Totally. Totally. And you're going to see that more too. The more you do stand up, like there's so many shows I go and I'm like the only brown person on the show.
Okay, so you get booked on like white shows, white guy shows.
White guy shows. And it's exactly like you're saying, like everyone's the same. And I go up there and I fucking, you know, I just go, you know,
you just do your thing.
And like, I know that too. Cause like, if it's kind of a boring show, I'm like, oh, dude, I'm gonna fucking blow the shit out of the water because it's like you're saying, it's like all the same stuff. You know what I mean? It's all the same stuff. So like, you're going to see that all the time. You're like, I am like the token brown dude. You know what I mean? Like I'll get put on all these shows. Like, cause I'll do any mic. I'll do any mic anywhere. And right. Like those people that see me, they're like, oh, we're going to get you on a show. And then it just so happens to be like four white dudes, a white woman and me, you know what I mean? Like, which again, like you're saying, like, I'm gonna go kill that shit regardless. Like, it doesn't matter to me, but it's funny to see. It's like, oh, all right. I see what's going on. I see how this works.
I see what's going on here. Yeah. You can't fool me. You
can't fool me, dude. Yeah. And it, like, yeah, like, I mean, white people suck. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Everyone,
they have their moments.
No, I'm just kidding. Like anyone. The issue isn't any sort of race or anything or gender. It's power, you know. Power is.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you understand how like power works, it like it kind of helps you not fucking hold a grudge against everybody else. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna be mad at the my white friends because this white dude is an asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally.
You're able to discern that because you understand that like power structures are the problem. You know what I mean? Like.
Mm-hmm.
But once you understand history too, like the Mexican nation state isn't nice either.
No, Mexican like, nationalism is out.
Yeah, it's done. Like they were super oppressive to indigenous people. They're super oppressive to like any sort of migrants coming from South America.
Still,
any sort of nation state, any sort of power regime is always going to be oppressive. It has nothing to do with the people. You know. So like you can even, you know, use that for like Texas. I have so many friends in Texas. I hate the government. You know what I mean? Like, that's my homies in Dallas. You know what I mean?
But Texas as an experience and as a place can be very cool. Like I've had a lot of fun in Texas. Like I like going to Texas. I want to go back. I'm dying to do a Texas tour, like the cities.
Yeah, totally. I remember you're talking about Austin trip or something on your story. You're talking about going to Austin. I would love that. I would love
to go. Let's go.
You plan it. That would be sick.
I'm literally so down. I think we would do very well in Texas.
Oh yeah.
Cause also like I have listeners, cause I've been doing Jokes and Tokes, right? Mario Rodriguez has performed on Jokes and Tokes. So for listeners, if you have attended, you maybe have seen Mario. Fucking killed, fucking it was a fun show and everybody loved you. You did great.
I was on acid too. I was like coming down off acid. I was like, fuck you, I'm gonna go in there and be all fucking hammered. But it worked out good.
Yeah, and we were all smoking, and that's the thing with Jokes and Tokes is like almost all the comics are smoking before their sets. Some of them during their sets, after their sets, everyone's hitting bongs, myself included. So it's just like very that, you know. Very that. But dang, what was I just saying?
Talking about Texas.
Oh yeah, Texas. I would love to go to Texas. I think we would do great there. And like, so I've been doing Jokes and Tokes, and I've only done shows for the past 2 years, basically here in LA. Uh-huh. And I know people in other cities and other places want to attend, you know? Yeah. So what if it was like an Idiots United Jokes and Tokes crossover event?
Fuck yeah. That would be awesome. Any day you need us, Mala.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Fuck yeah. Do like a Austin, Dallas, like San Antonio, three cities. All the way down.
I love it. I love it. I think we do Texas, but then we also just do like a West Coast tour, because I think we need to hit the Bay.
Yeah, totally.
The Central Valley.
Central Valley.
And San Diego.
San Diego, so fun. All these places, the crowds are going to be so awesome. You know what I mean? All everywhere we go. So 100% down, 100% down. Because that's the goal, is to travel and, you know, do shows places that I've never been to.
Yeah,
you know
what totally. I mean?
That's the point. And interacting with the people. Like, I've been doing more road stuff in like NorCal and like Phoenix and stuff. And the funnest part is like after, when all these people are like, oh, dude, that was fun. Like, we're like all hanging out after, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All these people like, regular like plumbers and shit, you know what I mean?
Regular
foos, you know,
regular plumbers.
Yeah, I did a show in Phoenix, dude, and this guy, he was like a Native American dude, and we're in the back, and they're all doing like coke and shit, and I don't do nothing no more, you know what I mean? I'm not sober, I'm drinking my black coffee, you know. And, but this is all fucking yacked out. He's like telling me a story, and they do like this, like it's like a ceremony in their culture where like they stay up for like 4 or 5 days straight. They just dance all day in this like heat tent or whatever, like the steam tent, you know.
Oh dang. Like a sweat lodge.
A sweat lodge. They do that for like 5 days straight, no eating, and the only thing they eat is whatever these jester people in their culture, they make a puppy stew. Yeah, and that's the only thing they eat. In those 5 days, they're dancing nonstop in the steam tent and in the sweat lodge, and these jester people, to play jokes on them, will like bring them like real food, and then like step on it in front of their face, and then make them drink the puppy soup, and then after that, they go into this big tree, like this tree of life that they do, and they hook like these like metal hooks from the tree, and they put it on they pierce their
skin.
In their chest, and they have to like make the tree dance. That's what they tell the tree dance. So they have to like, and they have to go until the metal things rip off their chest. The men and the women do it. The women don't do it on their chest, they do it on their arms. And
his
wife is there, and she was like, yeah, I was doing it, and only one would come off. So I was like pulling my right shoulder only. And they're like 5 days of no eating or drinking. So they're like hallucinating. So they don't like, you know, the guy's telling me that this tree is like speaking to him and like just moving like so crazy. And I got told that after a show in Phoenix, randomly,
you know? He shared this with you.
He shared this with me, and I'm like, dude, like comedy is so sick. Like, you know, you're like I'm literally there. These people are all doing lines and telling me weird stories. I'm just like, it was like the coolest experience, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, something that like no one told me like about. I thought I was just gonna do jokes, you know what I mean? No one told me that life of comedy is like so.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so, like, and like, we're gonna meet the people of the country, and that's what's gonna be the best part, is bringing this stuff to other people.
I love it. I love it. I love your outlook on comedy. I love what you're doing with your comedy. I think it's so freaking sick. Where can people? Okay, I'm gonna put this episode out before our show at Dave and Buster's. So let's plug. Where can people find you? Where can people follow you? Where can people see you perform comedy live?
Fuck yeah. Thank you for being on here. It's such an honor. You're awesome. You know, super funny.
Thank you. You
can find me on Instagram. Mara Rodriguez doesn't exist on Instagram. I think I'm on YouTube or something. If you follow me on Instagram, you come to any of the shows. I have a show Thursday. I'm terrible with this.
So we're December 14th.
December 15th. I'm doing Mario Caballero show in LA somewhere. Terrible at this. 23rd, we have the Idiots United show at My Story Tattoo on 355 North Fairfax Avenue, Toy Drive. Food vendors, weed vendors, all that good stuff. And then I got a couple more shows, but we'll figure it out. You know
and
what
your
I mean?
Podcast?
My podcast is Pocket Change. Pocket Change with AJ Santos, the great AJ Santos. You can find it on YouTube. We have Instagram. We have clips on Instagram. I think we're on Anchor. I don't even know what that is. They just put me in front of a camera. They're like, go. You know what I mean? Everything else is cool.
Talking to this mic.
Yeah, just talking. Don't think about it. Which I'm down for, honestly.
Hell yeah. Totally. Yeah. Mario Rodriguez is going to. So just to recap, come see us December 14th at the Dave & Buster's at the San Eden Mall. The show starts at what? 8:30?
30 show, yeah.
Check out our Instagrams. I'm at @Mala_Munoz. He's at Mario Rodriguez doesn't exist for flyers.
Yes, ma'am.
And this has been our interview.
Yay!